said about the divine will. So here is where we're supposed to be. What are we supposed to be occupied with? We should be occupied with the so many truths that are found in the Book of Heaven. This has to become our life. Jesus says, we just read, there's going to be only a few who will be able to possess this gift. Now, if you think of all the people, I mean, from California to Maine, who are here, it's a small number. And so Jesus says, these are the souls who must live in my divine will. Okay, so what do we learn from Louisa in this first sentence? My little mind is all occupied by the so many truths that Jesus had manifested about the divine will. That's where we have to be. Like I said before, to read and to study and to put this into practice. There's many ways of doing this. You can write them down. You can highlight them. You can carry them with you. You can form a little book that these are truths that strike you. And then as you put them in this little book that you write, what happens is you begin to learn what Jesus wants you to know. And as you go through the writings, what will happen in time is everything will be underlined. Because everything that Jesus says is very important for the souls who must live in the divine will. This is a call from God Himself. And this is why Jesus has asked us to be apostles of the divine will. It's not to go out and bang on people's doors and say, "You got to read this." To be an apostle of the divine will is to live it. To have Jesus and Mary so alive in you that every thought, every word, every deed is of God. See, that to be an apostle is to be Jesus. And to let Him breathe in our breathing with the prevening act that you pray every morning. As you breathe, as your heart beats, as you walk, as you gaze. Like today, just going outside, if you just look at what God has done in creation, such a beautiful morning, the sun, you know, reflecting on the lake, the mist, the dew that is all around in the early morning, how God waters at night the plants. Everything is begins to you begin to live this "I love you." Your heart begins to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. There is nothing that can bother you. Everything is fiat. Like you begin to see, you know, even in the dew on the grass, the little pearls of light reflecting in the sun. Every one of them is an "I love you." The ripples of the waves, every ripple of sunlight shining back into our eyes is that "I love you" from God. And our job is to reciprocate that "I love you" back to Him. And like what we prayed at Rounds just now, how powerful that is, that we belong to God. We were created by God. God has asked us in this generation to begin to live in the divine will, to bring all human generations into the kingdom. See, we have a great responsibility, and when if we're not occupied with the truths of the Book of Heaven, again, I think we're disappointing Jesus. We have to learn from Louisa what she did. What does she do? She occupied herself with so many truths. And this is what she says. Each one of these truths presented itself as a portent, one distinct from the other, but a divine portent, not human, not of earth, but of heaven. And they remained as all in act of wanting to assail all creatures, the creature, in order to communicate to her and transform Louisa, and now us, into their portentous virtue, all celestial, all divine. See, this is the thing that people have difficulty with. When you say to give up everything, even holy things, people say, "I can't give up how the prayers of St. Francis. I can't give up the prayers of St. Ignatius. I can't give up the rule of Benedict. I can't give up. And Jesus says, fine. If that's what you want, then that's what you're going to get. And like I remember this one lady kept on saying to me over and over every time I met with her for 12 years. She says, what would we do without you? I said, you would become a great saint. Because she prayed the rosary, she wore the scapular, she spent time for the Blessed Sacrament, she went to Holy Mass, she was obedient to the Church. But when she left the divine will, that's what God gave her. She became a great saint. But she did not share in this that is all celestial, all divine, because she said no to the divine will. See, God wants, he's constantly asking us, what do you want? Every night he says that to us. What did you do today? What did you want? What do you want for tomorrow? And in this communion with Jesus, as we're talking to Jesus every day, he begins to say, I'll give you anything that if this is what you want. See, the free will is great. He cannot take our free will away from us. But we have to use our free will to choose. Do I want to live in God's holy divine will? Or do I want to live in my human misery? And what is the human will? It's what we say every time we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And Jesus says every night to us, every day to us, what do you want? Do you want your misery? I'll give that to you. Or do you want to enter into this great gift of the divine will? And we have to choose every day. Every day in communion with God, we have to talk to him. And he talks to us, and he asks us. And we have to begin to hear what Jesus is saying. And we have to answer him. We have to say to the Lord, you know, I do not want to go to hell. We have to say to Jesus, I want to go to heaven. I want to bring not only my family and my friends and my neighbors, my co-workers into heaven. I want to bring all your children into heaven. So what Jesus has given us is he's given us an opportunity to be of the family of Luisa. This is what Luisa did. And if we are the family of Luisa, then we have to have that spiritual DNA that Luisa possessed. Jesus has to begin to see in us the I love yous. He has to begin to see in us the desire to learn these truths, and he has to see in us what we have accomplished. What do, like I said, what do you know in volume, 12? What do you know that Jesus said to Luisa? What truth are you aware of where you can reflect upon it throughout the day? See, this is Luisa says again, it's going to transform us into all that is celestial, all that is divine. That's why we were created. We weren't created to stay here on earth, to live in a kingdom that we make, but to live in the kingdom of God that's coming down from heaven. So again, these truths are very, very essential for us. How do we do this? How? And again, like I said, most people find it difficult to stop the holy things, the good things, the saintly things. Like people say to me, you know, I can still pray this prayer, right? I said, you can do whatever you want. What does Jesus ask you in the divine will? How does Jesus ask you to pray? For example, the rounds. As you pray that prayer in the rounds, I love you and I adore you, I praise you and I thank you, I glorify and I worship you. As you pray that during the week, that becomes, it changes you. You begin to pray the way Jesus prayed, adoring the Father, praising the Father, glorifying the Father. You're praying the way Adam prayed when he first began. You're praying the way Our Lady prayed when she was on earth. You're praying the way Jesus and Mary taught Luisa. But if you say, well, that's nice, but I'm more comfortable with the prayers of St. Teresa, God says, fine. God will not understand and interfere with your freedom. So, this docility, this surrender, this love for Jesus makes us, forces us to begin to pray in a different way. Forces us to let go of everything that is human, even holy things. See, these are saintly human holy things. Jesus wants us to enter into the sanctity of sanctities. Not just a saintly holy thing. Every saint that ever did anything, it was done in a human manner, in a saintly way. Our job is to prepare for all the saints, redo for all the saints, so that everything can be glorified for the saints in heaven. And so we will redo everything in the way, in the divine will. And they in heaven receive a double heaven every time that we do an act in the divine will. You see why it's so important to do and redo everything in the most holy divine will. When I read the lives of the saints, I mean, in the breviary, when I read what they have done, I repair what they have done in the divine will. Jesus is showing me through the Holy Church, this is what they've done. And I go, wow, this is great. I want to redo what they've done in the holy divine will by linking myself to Louisa, which is really the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. So what that does is every day the saints receive a greater glory, a greater heaven than what they had before. Why? Because we are repairing everything in the divine will. This is the Holy Spirit renewing the face of the earth. So we look at this and we want to enter into this life that is all celestial, all divine. You know, it's to begin to live heaven on earth. This is why as you learn what this great gift is, as you begin to practice what this great gift is, you are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. There's no way that you cannot be. It transforms us. I mean, it really just goes right into the core of who we are. And even our DNA is being changed to be what? To be like Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So Louisa says, but while my mind was so occupied, I thought to myself, and yet before a truth so celestial, divine, in the shadow of the human, does not exist. So lovable, so penetrating, so full, so holy, so full of lights are these truths that each one of them encloses the life, the love, the sanctity of God, He who has manifested them. And yet there are those who, reading some things about these truths, are doubtful. They make difficulties. And you know it, O Jesus. Everything is known by you. And like talking about that one woman, you know, Father, what would we do without you? You'd be a great saint. You know, and I remember one person who said, you know, I'm going to live in the divine will. And I'm going to do this. I said, well, you can't do it without a priest. She says, I will find a priest. And that was, what? That was about 20 years ago, I think, 15 years ago. The priest that we go to is Father Ely. And if you haven't got a priest around you to help you, introduce priests to the divine will with the hours of the Passion, with the Virgin Mary and the Divine Will, the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will, with the CD, Dawn of a Mystery, and say, you know, Father, would you watch this with me? Father, I'm reading this book, can you help me? And then when you have a question, say, Father, what do you think about this? How does this relate to my life? And what happens is you're opening the door to the priest, who will then be the one who will give you an insight that only a priest can. See, you have to understand priesthood. Priesthood was when you're ordained, it's ontologically changed. You receive from the choirs of powers the power to preach. So if a lay person gets up and talks and it's a really good homily, it's really not a homily. It's something that's nice, something that's holy. But the power of the angels, is not there. And even though it might be a great talk, there's nothing there that will transform a soul. See, it's through the holy angels that God touches souls. Well, when I give a homily or talk on the divine will, I always pray to my holy guardian angel to go to all the other holy guardian angels, all the people who will listen to these words, so that they will hear Jesus, what Jesus wants, not what I want. And many, many times when I give a talk, people will come up and they say, Father, when you said ABC, it changed my life. And I know for a fact I did not say ABC. But that's what they heard. Why? Because that's the angelic power that a priest has. You know, the laying out of hands is a very dangerous thing. It's a very holy thing, but a very dangerous thing. For example, when a bishop lays hands on the priest, he is in charge of the priest. The priest surrenders to the bishop. The father and mother lay hands on the children. You know, the children are under the protection of the parents. Children, teenagers, when they fall in love, when they touch, when they hold hands, just by holding hands, everything starts to fall apart. The defenses start to fall apart. See, this touch is spirit to spirit. And you have to be very careful when a layperson says, I've been given this gift, and I have this gift, and I want to give it to you. There was one woman in Newark who she said she had the gift of healing. Everyone she touched got sick. Everyone she touched. She definitely did not have any gift. But she convinced people this is what she had. But with a priesthood, it's different. This is an ontological change. It's not the human norm. It's really alter Christus, other Christ. So what Jesus has said with the divine will, it's through the priesthood that the divine will be given to the world. Through the church, the divine will be given to the world. Okay, so your goal, and then everybody says that to me, we have no priests. Your goal is to give them the Book of Heaven. Give them the hours of the Passion. Give them the hours of the Passion of the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. And if they ask for more, then give them Volume 11. Now, all of you should have these writings. And if you want them electronically, that can be done. These words transform you. These words, the chemical structure within you changes. You will be being oppressed. You will be joyful. Being sickly, you will become healthy. See, the divine will is the life that Adam had before the fall. It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that was given to Louisa. Louisa was never sick. Louisa stayed in bed because she was obedient. It was only the last 2 weeks of her life that she became sick. And basically God is saying, you're coming home. And everything started to turn off so that she was ready to even give God everything so that she could leave this earth and really begin to reign in heaven. So when we read, when we study, when we put into practice these truths, we change. There's no question. The problems that you may have over your life, the difficulties that you may have gone to confession to the priest with, constantly the same thing. People always say that. I present the same sins over and over and over. Well, these are the sins of human generations. This is your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents on both sides. All the sins are all the life, all the DNA forms who you are. That's why with alcoholism, it's usually in families. With MS, it's every other generation. Okay. So what Jesus is saying is that I'm tired of the way you're living. And since you haven't come after me, I'm going to come after you. And that's what the divine will is. And everything in us begins to be changed. We begin to think clearly with the mind of Christ. Our memory isn't what people said about me or people did against me or people did against my family. Your memory is of Jesus. Your memory is of Our Lady. You know, so that when we begin to live this life, we're changed. There's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. And see, what happens at that point is God is freeing us from the past generations, freeing us so that He can begin a new generation. And this is why Elise is the mother of the second generation of the children of light. God wants to free us from the curses and the hexes and the spells that have been put on us and our families for previous generations. You look at some families, it says very clearly that it will go to the third or fourth generation. You look at some families in the United States, you know, they die horrible deaths, their children die horrible deaths, their grandchildren die horrible deaths. And why? Because they're not freed of what God is calling us to. And this is our job. So that's why he says very clearly that these truths are celestial and divine. It's not human. It's perfection. And see, like I said right from the beginning, God wants us to be perfect. And that's what he's doing. He's working on us spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And when we say to the Lord, you know, remember the blind man said to Jesus, Jesus says, what do you wish for? What do you want? And the man said, Lord, that I want to see. And Jesus said, so be it. See, it's what do you wish? What do you want? You're going to get what you wish and you want for. So, and that's, again, like I said, that's a danger. That's a real danger. We have to say to the Lord, what do you want? How do you want it? How do you want me to live? And he's given us the blueprint of how to do this through the Book of Heaven. He says very clearly, and I felt all oppressed and yearning for my sweet Jesus in order to tell him my pain. And he surprisingly told me, my good daughter, Louisa, do not afflict yourself for this. You must know. And that's us for his command. Mm-hmm. He says it to Louisa, but he's saying it to us. You must know this. He says, in order to know one truth, one needs to love it. So, how can you love the divine will if you don't believe Jesus dictated this to Louisa? And how can you love the divine will if you don't see that, don't know that? If you know that Jesus has dictated this to Louisa, and Louisa wrote down in holy obedience, then these books, the Book of Heaven, become so important to us that they're not, like I said before, thrown on the floor. You know, this is Jesus speaking, the Word of God speaking, the Word of God dictating these words to Louisa, which will transform you, as he says to Louisa, transmute us. And this is what he's asked. But for example, he says, the greatest gift that I gave to the Old Testament was transfiguration. Jesus on Mount Tabor. And he, Jesus, with Moses and Elijah. What happens at that point? Jesus, his clothing radiated like the light of the sun, greater than the light of the sun. Yet inside, he is God Almighty. That didn't change. He says, the greatest gift that I gave to the New Testament was transubstantiation, where that which looks like bread and tastes like bread, the outside stays the same. But if you want to say the inside is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, that bread is God. That which looks like bread is God. And he says we can adore him and love him and praise him and thank him, glorify him and worship him. And then he says the third gift that I'm giving to mankind, the final gift that I'm giving to mankind, is transmutation. Now, that comes from this great gift of the divine will. And when you look up transmutation, it means that the inside and the outside of an element, that's awesome, inside and outside, will be changed into a completely new element. We're going to radiate with the light of Jesus. We're going to radiate with the light of Mary. See, this is why the devil fears us. You know, he'll come after us like crazy. But once he knows that we believe in the divine will, he can't stay, he can't be near us. And that's why I'm saying all the things that you have fought in your spiritual life that has been very difficult to overcome, As you enter into the divine will, God frees you. Why? Because he's transmuting you. He's beginning to form the first children of the holy divine will on earth as the saints possess this in heaven. You see, this is so glorious that the rounds should be coming from our lips all the time, all day long. I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. Why? In everything that we see, everything that we think, everything that we do, everything we begin to see the I love yous in all of creation. So when we wake up this morning and we look outside, this is beautiful. This is Canandaigua, according to the Indians, is the chosen spot. This is a very beautiful place. But it's more beautiful in the divine will. Why? Because you're seeing with the eyes of Jesus. You're hearing with the ears of Jesus. Jesus, come hear in my hearing. Jesus, come gaze in my gazing. You know, Jesus, come pray in my praying. So you're never separated from God. So he says to Louisa, you must know that in order to know one truth, one needs to love it. And that's what we do with the Book of Heaven. Love makes the appetite arise. The appetite gives the taste. The taste makes arise the hunger of eating to fullness and chewing very well the substance of a food, that is, my truths. So he asks us to masticate these words, chew them over and over and over. Get the delight from every truth. Taste the with delight the truth that is in these words that Jesus has spoken. He says, chewing then produces easy digestion in a way that one feels the possession of the great good that my truth possesses and produces. And then the doubts cease. The difficulties melt like snow before the rays of a burning sun. Think about what's coming. What's coming is going to be very tough. In the breviary this morning, it said that Jesus opened the gates of heaven. You know, Jesus says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So what's coming is going to be very, very difficult. But Jesus says the difficulties will melt like snow before the rays of a burning sun. It's just going to go. The devil is going to be gone. The world is going to be recreated. There will be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more death. See, Jesus has got great, great plans for us. And we have to begin to see things from his perspective. And there are some things that are difficult to understand. And if that happens, you know, that doesn't matter. What matters is we say to the Lord, let it be done as you say. And that's what's really wonderful. Now, if they have hardly touched them without eating them, and with a profound study, and with a love that generates the appetite, what wonder it is that they make doubts and difficulties. So he says very clearly to us, if you're just gulping them down without studying them, without chewing them, digesting them, if you don't have a love for it, he says, no wonder you have a doubt. So it's not, see, this isn't just to do something. See, a lot of people pray the rosary. They learn to pray the rosary like this. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord, Jesus, bless my Jesus, my God, and Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord, Jesus, I got my rosary done. And it's like, well, you did it. There's nothing there. You know, it's to meditate on the mysteries of Jesus through the eyes of Mary. See, a lot of people just, I got my work done. Now I can do what I want. So that's the devotional life. I got my 9-day communion. Perfect. Now I'm going to heaven. It's to change us. It's to have Jesus transmute us. And Jesus says the only way that this can be done is with this great gift of the divine will. And so it's not just, like somebody said to me once, I read all 36 volumes, now what do I do? Well, let's go back and start over again. Hopefully. Oh, well, now what do I do? This is filled with life, filled with light, filled with love. And that's what our Lord is asking, you know, to read. Some people say, I can't read that fast. Well, don't. Read at the pace that Jesus has given you. Some people have to read, and maybe a paragraph, or somebody else is doing a whole chapter. But what is Jesus doing? And for each soul, he's touching each soul to their docility, to their surrender, to their submission. So it's not just to read and get it done, but as you read. So as you go through 1 through 10, you really become a divine mirror of Jesus. As you read 11 through 19, you really possess how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then as you read 20 through 36, you begin to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. Okay, you can't be the same. You know, it's why did God change Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham? Why? Because he changed. And it's the same thing for us. We do not want, basically, to have the name that we've always known, been known by. It's to enter into a life that is one with God. You know, it's our Lord is going to be doing amazing things, and all that he asks is that we allow that to happen. So he says, Louisa says, oh, how it would be better to say it is not food for us, nor do we have the will to eat it, rather than give judgments. This is the gift of gifts. That's all I can say. And as you read this, it changes you. But one knows that my truths find a place more in simple hearts than in learned. And I've seen that, holy cow. Like I said to you before, I've heard some people who have letters behind their name. I've got letters behind my name. I just don't want to tell you what they are. This divine will is simple. It is simple. It is simple. It is simple. It's why, you know, God is simple. God is pure love, and depending on your simplicity, this is for you. If you complicate things, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? What happens at that point, God just backs away. And he says, I'll leave you to your complexity. But if you allow God to reign, this is so simple. It's fiat. It's let it be done to me as you say. And as we read this, how glorious it is. He says, this happened in my redemption. To my sorrow, not one learned, not one followed me, but all the poor, all the ignorant, all the simple ones. So he says this, you must know, command of Jesus, that my truths are seeds, and that I, the celestial farmer, continue to sow in souls, and if I make my sowing with certainty, I must gather the fruit. So it's going to happen. He says this about the saints. He says, the saints are the flowers on the plants. The saints are the flowers in the trees. The children of the divine will are the fruit of the plants. It's the fruit of the trees. Now, what's the difference between a flower and a fruit? The fruit has the seeds to produce more trees, to be like God. This is why God said, be fruitful and multiply. What we've got to this point is beautiful trees, beautiful flowers, beautiful plants, flowering. Jesus says, now is the time that the fruit is going to appear. And that's us. What he wants to make of us is to be in his image and likeness, to do what God does. So all these seeds that are like a watermelon, we now can plant and make 1,000 watermelons, and then 1,000,000 watermelons, and then 1,000,000,000 watermelons. It's to have fruit and bear this fruit. be fruitful and abundant. And that's with every thought, word, and deed. So he says, and if I make my sowing with certainty, I must gather the fruit. How many times it happens to me as to a poor sower who casts his seeds into the earth, but for lack of moisture the earth does not have the strength to eat the seed in order to digest it and to convert it into earth and give the substance that has been absorbed from the seed to give to the poor farmer 10, 20, 100 of the seeds that the earth has eaten. Other times he casts his seed for lack of rain. The earth becomes hard to hold the seed, and the substance of the seed that encloses it does not find a way to make life grow. And the poor farmer must have patience to receive the harvest of the seeds. But still, by having sown the seeds, he has already done something and can hope. Who knows? A rain can give moisture to the earth that the possessing of the substance of the seed will put forth what he has sown. Or else cutting the hardness, tilling it, forms the way in order to let his seed reproduce so that, in spite of the fact that the earth does not immediately produce the multiplicity of the seed that it receives with time, circumstances, rain, it can produce most abundant harvest that the sower did not expect. Now, if the farmer, despite all the difficulties, the earth can hope to receive an abundant harvest, more so I, Jesus, the celestial farmer, have put forth from my divine bosom and so many seeds of the celestial truths in order to sow them in the depth of your soul, and the whole world shall be filled by the harvest. See what one person can do? This is why, again, there's not going to be many. God doesn't need many. He says very clearly, Louisa, you possess it. Now, everything's done. Everything's accomplished. The only reason he's waiting is he wants to share with us what he blessed Louisa with, the gift of the divine will. Jesus basically says he's waiting for the souls who must live in the divine will. So he has chosen us from the beginning of time to possess this gift, to live this gift, in order to what? Bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Do you want to believe, therefore, that because of the doubts and the difficulties of a few, some like earth without moisture, some like a hard and callous earth, I would not make my superabundant harvest? My daughter, you are mistaken. The time, the people, the circumstances change. What today can be seen black, tomorrow will be seen white. Because many times, one sees according to the predispositions that they have, and according to the sight, either long or short, that the intellect possesses. Poor little ones, one needs compassion for them, but everything is in that I, God, have already made the sowing in Louisa. The thing most necessary, the thing most substantial, the thing that's most interesting, that is my manifested truths that I have given to Louisa in the Book of Heaven. This is the most essential. And that's why I'm saying, it's your promise to Jesus. It's between you and Jesus what you vow. You have to talk to him. You have to begin to hear him. You have to begin to see him. Now, as Catholics, when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we see Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. We see God. And St. Teresa says this is the only time in the world that we can truly love God freely, because when we die, we will be in heaven. We will have to love God because we will see him as he is. And he is so beautiful, so holy, so perfect that we will be, as St. Bernard says, we will be in the awe of God for all eternity. Just for eternity, just going, oh, you are so amazing. See, but now we can freely love Jesus. And that's, again, that's our job. It's not to be good in sports. It's not to be good in whatever. It's to be in love with God. That has to be our primary purpose on earth, to fall in love with God. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, in the holy divine will. So when we stand before God and when we pray, God hears our voice in all of humanity. humanity, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, glorifying him, and worshiping him. The church already teaches that when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when you're in front of exposition of the Eucharistic Lord, you represent all mankind. And even if there's one person in the parish, he's bringing everybody to the throne of God. Now in the divine will, it's even more powerful because the divine will is the gift of gifts that he has given to us. Jesus says, if I, God, have done my labor, the main part has been put forth in work. In Louisa. Everything is accomplished in Louisa. This is why Father Bucci says, Louisa is la santa. Louisa is the saint of the church. Jesus has done the main part. He has put forth his work in Louisa. I have found your earth in order to cast my seed, Louisa. The rest shall come by itself. See, everything has been placed in Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn. And as we read, as we study, the fruit that Jesus has planted in Louisa begins to reign in us. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly, but to enter into the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. The doubts, the difficulties, the pains serve just like the wood, the fire the poor farmer would make use of in order to cook the harvest seed. So everything that we're going through is getting everything ready. Your physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering that you're going through is cooking, if you want to say, the human out and bringing the divine will in as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice. They serve me and you as sons in order to make my truths mature in hearts, as wood and fire in order to give them, not with words alone, but with practice, and by the sacrifice of the fire of their own life, to cook them in order to convert into the sweetest food and to feed the creatures, everybody. See, this is what it means to be an apostle of the divine will. Focused on the writings, you know, going to your room, closing the door, and reading and studying, falling in love with God, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him in the rounds as we begin to live this life of Jesus and Mary through Louisa. So an apostle of the divine will is not to, you know, knock somebody over the head or wearing a button, I'm an apostle of the divine will. It's to, as Father Bucci says, be little, insignificant, and hidden. Be like Louisa. Praying in the divine will. Learning this gift. It's not many things. It's not much to do. You know, I know a lot of people say, well, I work in the parish, and there's all this that I have to do in the parish. And what I say is, well, that's good. God will give you what you want. What Jesus wants is that you be alone with him so he can teach you. You could be Martha or you could be Mary. You can work until you drop, or you can sit at the feet of Jesus and be absorbed into him, and him absorbed into you. See, God, he says, what do you want? He says this all the time. What do you want? What's going to make you happy? And is this going to make you happy? How about this? Is this going to make you happy? What about this? When some people say, I have all these ideas, well, Jesus is asking, what do you want? I'll give you what you want. And if we say, what Louisa says, I only want your divine will, then God says, good, you have chosen the best. And then he says, like you said to Louisa, go to your room. And why? What did she do? She read, she studied, she put into practice these truths. Again, you can be very, very busy. You can find a thousand things to do. That I remember what the Lord said to me my seventh year as a priest. He said, stop. And I went, what? Stop. I said, I'm the only one that's going to the schools. I'm the only one that's going to the hospitals. I'm teaching lessons. I'm doing the best I can. And you're telling me to stop? And see, he has to stop us so that he can be Lord. You know, it's very, very important that we begin to listen to Jesus. He wants to tell us what to do and obey. But again, that's another reason why you should have a spiritual director. I remember this one person, said, "Father, I'm going to fast. Jesus wants me to fast." I said, "What are you going to do?" "I'm not going to eat for 40 days and for 40 nights.
Whoa.
I'm not going to drink for 40 days and for 40 nights." And I went, "Well, that's really a nice idea, but you're going to kill yourself. This is not how you're supposed to do it." And explained what the church says on fasting. You know, see, you have. I remember a long time ago, the Lord said, "This is what I want," and I took off and I ran as fast as I could, doing what this is what God wants me, as fast as I could. And finally, when I was out of breath, the Lord said, "No, I wanted you to go that way." and that's why you need spiritual direction, because if you have zeal, if you want to do what God wants, it has to be controlled. And the one that can do that is a spiritual director. I mean, it's very, very important. But Jesus has great plans. He's got great, great plans. So he says, "So, my daughter, if I had wanted to listen to what was said about me, to the contradictions they made to me about the truths that I had manifested when I came on the earth, I would have not have formed the redemption. I would not have formed the manifestation of my gospel. And yet, they were the most learned, noblest part. Some who had studied scripture, some who had taught religion to the people. I let them talk, and with invincible patience, I endured their continuous contradictions, and they served me as wood for the pains that they gave me, in order to burn and consume myself on the cross for love of them and of everyone. The same today, if I would want to listen to what they say about the truths of my divine will, I would put an end to the manifestations about it and to the designs that I, God, want to fulfill by manifesting them to you. But no, we are not subject to changeability." So here God shows us that he has everything planned. He's going to do what he wants, and he is going to do what he wants. Vine 33:7-34. "A supreme majesty has established ab eternal all truths about the divine will that it must manifest." Okay, it's manifested to us who are reading. You have to understand that as you read this, God is changing you. As you read this, he has expanded your capacity to receive more divine truths. We are not the same when we spend time reading the book of heaven. We cannot be the same. He says that must be manifested, that are as so many queens in our divine being waiting with invincible love to make their way through the earth. So that's what it means to be an apostle of divine will. As you read this, that are manifested in the ways that within you the kingdom is being established throughout the earth. I remember the Archbishop Cassati in 1997 told us, well, 1997, he says, "You are promoting the divine will in a human manner." He says, "The divine will must be promoted in a divine manner." He says, "It can't be human." So what the Lord is showing us is that, how does this happen? It's by being alone with Jesus, reading, studying, and putting this into practice. You know, instead of, you know, being attracted by the world, the flesh, and the devil, which is all around us, it's being attracted by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to live that life. He says, "With invincible love to make their way through the earth in order to bring as queens the great good to the creatures of these knowledges about our divine fiat, that shall bring the office of teacher in order to form the creatures according to the truths that they announce." Okay, so it's not us announcing, it's the truths announcing to us. The truths are teaching us. The truths are changing us. So, do you love your family? Do you love the people of the world? Do you love the children of God? Then read, study, put this into practice, and watch God change the world. It's not us. That's done in a human manner. If we follow the example of the saints, they did everything in a holy, human manner. Well, my parish wants this, and I'm going to be working in my parish, so I won't be able to read for the next week. Well, you lost a whole week. Like Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, found in the truths in the Book of Heaven. And again, when the Archbishop said this publicly, he said it privately to us years ago, but when he said it publicly through Father Sergio, that anybody can copy these writings for their prayer group, and anybody can read all 36 volumes, the world changed. The devil is furious. He knows that as you read this, the kingdom is being established in you on earth as it is in heaven, and he can't control you anymore. God is making you holy and happy again, as he did with Adam originally. He can't control you. What happens at that point is the world is changing for the glory of God, salvation, sanctification of souls. It's the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. It's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Her triumph is that we become like her son. So he says, these queens of my truth shall give the first kiss of the life of the divine fiat, and they shall be gifted with the virtue of transformers and of transforming into the same truth those who listen to them, those who read them. Listen to that. These gifts, they shall be gifted with the virtue of transformers, of transforming them into the same truth, Jesus. Transforming them into Jesus, who listened for those who listen to them, for those who read the Book of Heaven. And they shall remain with them. This is the truths, ready to help them in their need and to instruct them. This is why I said, Jesus says, I've saved the Book of Heaven for the worst of times. Because we are in the worst of times. We have to understand that. But it's nothing to panic about. It's going to be far worse than you can ever imagine. But what is coming?
Thanks a lot.
Can I say something more? Huh?
What do you say?
Oh, no, don't worry. Don't worry. It's basically, if you know you're going to have to go swimming, and the water is ice cold, you get ready for it. You put on a diving suit. And you get ready, and you jump in. Okay, if you don't know it's ice cold water, and you run into the water with your bathing suit on, hey, you're going to be terrified. And that's what I'm saying. Jesus is showing you what's coming. Don't be worried. There's nothing to worry about. We have everything at our disposal. This is what he says. They shall be all love for them, disposing to give them what they need, provided that they listen to these truths, read these truths, and let them be conducted and managed by these truths. You see, that this is going to be. Jesus says, "No eye has seen, not no, Jesus." Jesus says, "What is coming has never been seen before, and will never be seen again." That is awful. He says it will be like the time of Noah. What happened at the time of Noah? One family was saved. Okay, we are the family of Louisa. The one family that was saved, God says, had a pure line to Adam. They didn't interbreed with the Nephilim, whatever that means. They had a pure line to Adam and Eve. What we have through Louisa is a pure line to the new Adam, Jesus, to the new Eve, Mary. And if we're reading, if we're studying, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. But Jesus said, it will be like the time of Noah. This is going to be really, really difficult for most people. And people will die of fright of what's coming. But if we have Jesus, if we have Mary, if we have the Luisa, the truth that Jesus gave to Luisa, he says very clearly what's happening. He says, they're going to transform those who listen to them. If they're going to be ready to help the souls in their need to instruct them. They shall be all love for them. There's no fear. Disposing to give them what they need, provided that they read, listen to them, and let themselves be conducted and managed by these truths. I look at, you know, some of my family and I say to them, you know, you got to read this. And they go, thank you, but no thank you. And I say, well, Lord, you know, you're giving them an out and they choose not to have it. I said, help them, God bless them. But they're in your hands, you know. This is the means to get through what's coming. There's no question. Now, all the truths about my divine will have not all gone forth yet. Those that remain wait with anxiety to come forth from within our divinity in order to complete their office and be bearers and transformers of the good souls, of the good blessings that they possess. So, I thank Jesus for Luisa constantly. I thank and praise and glorify God for giving us Luisa. This is the lifeline to heaven. It really is. And when all the truths that we, God, have disposed to come forth from you, Luisa, have been manifested, altogether these noble queens shall give us, God, the assault to our divine being. And as an invincible army, are our own divine weapons, they shall conquer us. And they shall obtain the triumph of the kingdom of the divine will on earth. To resist them is impossible for us. And by conquering God, they shall also conquer the creatures. See, God wins. And the devil knows when he, like I said, this light of Jesus and Mary, and now found in Luisa. As we read this, the devil sees this light growing more intense throughout the whole world. And he knows that he is here to destroy that light. He's going to defeat God. That's his plan. And so he's going to try. I mean, all of hell is going to break loose. And if anybody has seen any of the Exorcist movies, or any of the demonic movies that are out there, they're not even close to the terror that's going to be coming upon the earth. Not even close. It's like trying to say Mel Gibson's movie shows exactly what Jesus went through. It doesn't even get close to what Jesus went through. When Jesus, his skin was torn off him. You know, they said he was not recognizable as a man. So what's coming is going to be very, very difficult. And like I said before, a lot of people will commit suicide because they don't have God. You know, and our job is to reign. Our job is to let the divine will reign in us, to be true apostles of the divine will, to read, to study, put this into practice for all the souls who will have no hope. We're to do this so that everyone will have the possibility of entering the kingdom. This is what Jesus is asking, to do what God has done in his image and likeness. That's why as you read, as you study, as you enter into this gift, what happens is everything changes for us. So we'll end there. And in about 10 minutes we'll have Holy Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
And if you want to bring, don't forget to bring your books so we can prepare the final prayer.
Final talk.